Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2008. A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way, in the wasteland rivers. The people I formed for myself, that they might announce my praise. Yet you did not call upon me, O Jacob, for you grew weary of me, O Israel. You burdened me with your sins and wearied me with your crimes. It is I who wipe out, for my own sake, your offenses. Your sins I remember no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Lord, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
Lord, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
Blessed is the one who has regard for the lowly and the poor. In the day of misfortune the Lord will deliver him. The Lord will keep and preserve him, and make him blessed on earth, and not give him over to the will of his enemies.
Lord, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
The Lord will help him on his sickbed. He will take away all his ailment when he is ill. Once I said, O Lord, have pity on me. Heal me, though I have sinned against you.
Lord, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you.
But because of my integrity, you sustain me, and let me stand before you forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from all eternity. Amen, amen.
Lord, heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. A reading from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sister, as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was proclaimed to you by us, Silvanus, and Timothy, and me, was not yes and no, but yes has been in him. For however many are the promises of God, their yes is in him. Therefore, the amen from us also goes through him to God for glory. But the one who gives us security with you in Christ and who anointed us is God. He has also put his seal upon us and given the Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door, and he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, they opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Child, your sins are forgiven. Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, Why does this man speak in that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God can forgive sins? Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, Why are you thinking such things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, Your sins are forgiven, or to say, Rise, pick up your mat, and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, Rise, pick up your mat, and go home. He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astounded, and glorified God, saying, We have never seen anything like this. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Hello, welcome to your Sunday Reader. I'm Brian, and I'm here today with Dawn.
Hello, everyone.
And of course, we're going to discuss these wonderful readings that we just heard. And before the podcast, Dawn and I were talking a little bit. And Dawn, you shared a story about an experience you had with these readings, and you said that this is one of your favorite gospel passages, but you had a unique reason for liking it. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Well, yes. I always have a reason for everything, so am I a little corny? But When I was little, my godparents who lived out of state, they, for my birthday and for like Easter, they would always send me a book, and they were in a series of Bible stories. They were each individual, and I was trying to remember what they're called, but I can't. Anyhow, the very first one that I can remember reading is this story of the paralytic man in the roof, and I remember I got it out of the mailbox. I remember where I was sitting, and every time since then that I hear the story or I read it, I have the exact pictures that were in the book because it was such a momentous occasion. And so, you know, it's funny how image or things like that just strike you and they stay with you forever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, and those are important experiences and things. And I think that happens with a lot of gospel stories or mm-hmm. even just a lot of things in our lives. You know, you have these weird little things that we associate with them and, you know, you never forget it because of that. Or, you know, sometimes you'll hear a reading in the gospel and you'll remember it from a certain occasion in your life or something where it played an important role. And so this one obviously did that for you. Did you have any thoughts on the reading itself or anything that...
No, I'm just kidding.
Just the pictures.
Just the pictures.
Which unfortunately is hard to do over an audio podcast, you know.
We got to work on that.
That's right.
Well, I got to thinking about how this man, he was paralyzed, but for me, I'm not physically paralyzed, but oftentimes either there's other things that paralyze me. Sometimes fear, and not like fear of the boogie monster, but fear of being accepted or fear of, you know, failing, that keeps me from doing what God is asking me to do. And then also sin itself paralyzes you too. So I was just thinking about the analogies and how that can go along.
And I think that the concept that you mentioned last there for me was one that I picked up on, is the concept of sin. And you're right, it can be this paralyzing force in our lives because it is that's what keeps us from God, ultimately. That's the distance we have between us and God, is the fact that we're all sinners, so we do things that to push God away from us at several times in our lives. And one of the things that I picked up on in this reading is Christ's insistence on his ability to forgive sins. His first response to the paralytic man isn't to rise, pick up your mat, and walk, but it's your sins are forgiven. And I think that that's a real unique statement. It shows the uniqueness of Jesus as a person, and that this guy claims to have the ability to forgive sins, which, of course, they later on interpret as being blasphemous because he's making himself equal to God, which you shouldn't do unless you are God, which Jesus was. So it worked out for him in the end. But anyway, that's his first response, is to offer that forgiveness of sins, which is actually, you know, a greater thing than anything that we human beings can do. And then the miracle that takes place is kind of his proof text for showing that he has the actual power to do what he says he can do, which is forgive sins. And it's through the forgiveness of sins, though, ultimately, that, you know, we come out of our own paralysis, so to speak. So I think that image fits nicely with what you were saying, this idea that, you know, Christ's first response is your sins are forgiven, because it's the sins that make us all paralytics in some sense. Another theme that just hit me on this, so I'm kind of going off of what we talked about before the podcast, but is the fact that he had to have his friends bring him to Christ.
I was thinking that same thing.
Were you? Excellent. <Yeah. laughs> What, did you want to go with that? Or?
Well, no, go ahead.
Oh, you were thinking it. You want me to speak it, huh?
Sure, yeah.
But I mean, I think that that's an important thing, too, is that there's a communal aspect right here. It's, you know, he was brought to Christ by his friends. And in a sense, that's always our mission as church, is to bring people to God, to go out into the world and, you know, bring the good news to people, ultimately, so that they can come to God. If we don't do that and we keep our religion, you know, kind of a private thing or something, as I like to always harp on, it doesn't do any good because we're not bringing anybody to Christ. And in a sense, it can be a very selfish thing if we kind of think that we're going to hoard Christ for ourselves or something like that. But there's definitely a sense in which we need to bring people to God. And then on the flip side of that, too, is we need to let other people bring us to God. So the flip side of that is not to make the assumption that I have the full way and I am not going to let anybody else bring me to God. So that's kind of the dynamic we have in the church, is that as a church, we go out to the world and we should be spreading the news and bringing people to God. But also, as members of the church, we should allow the church to bring us to God, so the other members of the church to minister to us as well. So there's kind of this give and take relationship going on amongst the people.
And I think it's, even for me at least, even the church itself brings me back to Jesus for healing, something like that. I think of, we're about to enter the season of Lent, and the whole church year is set up to, you know, during Lent you're more reflective and more penitent, and the readings you hear, it brings you back to say, you know, I am a sinner and I need something. And so I like how the year is set up, and the rituals that we have. And sometimes we can be cynical and say, oh, they're just rituals and they don't mean anything. But when you fully partake of them, they help you to get back to God. And so I think that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think you're right. There's a richness to those rituals, and they do have meaning. Because otherwise, you know, our faith just becomes this rationalistic kind of faith if we just ignore the rituals that we have and the meanings behind them, or say that they, you know, don't have any kind of meaning, or they're kind of silly and superstitious or anything like that. And you know, if you push anything to an extreme, you can get that way. But if you push that line of thinking that I just gave, where you say it's all superstition stuff, your whole faith just becomes this rational faith. And there's something missing from that too. So I think you're right that this church year and the church itself does have a way of trying to draw us in through, you know, the sacred mysteries, through our worship and, you know, the various rites and things that we have and the symbols and all kinds of stuff like that. Another thing that I noticed in these readings I talked a little bit about before the podcast with you was one of your favorite words you said, eschatology.
Oh, yeah.
And eschatology, since it's a big word, we won't make everyone look it up in the dictionary or anything like that. We'll tell you what it means right here on the podcast, you know, for free. So, this is the best value here. eschatology is a beginning of a new era in the present era. So it's the beginning of the end times, if you will, taking place in the present moment. So what we'd say is it's the future taking place in the present. So, you know, definitely we see this in something like the resurrection, where we see Christ in his glorified body. And what we can learn from that is, you know, Christ is the first one to have a glorified body, but that's what we can expect to have is in the afterlife, is this glorified body. So we begin to see some of what get glimpses of the afterlife here in our present moment. And as Catholics, we live in this tension. I think, Dawn, you've mentioned several times on the podcast of already and not yet. And that's what eschatology is. And one where I see it is right at the very end of the gospel. There's a line that says, the people are talking, they said, we have never seen anything like this. And what they're saying is that there's something unique here. He's somehow different from the past and everything we've seen in the past, or everything that fits within our framework. This is something completely new, which is, of course, what the afterlife would be too, is something completely new. And that's what eschatology is. There's something new breaking into this present moment. And that, of course, is that God has entered into human history, and he's come not seeking retribution. The relationship between God and humanity loses its tension, but it's one marked of forgiveness and peace. And that's something that's new in all of history, because you look at any kind of religions and mythologies and things like that, and there's always a tension that exists between human beings and the divine. And especially, I mean, if you don't believe me, just go read any of the Roman myths, for example, and it's just, you know, people fighting with the gods and the gods manipulating people and things like that. And what we see here is something new. It's a person it's God entering in the present moment, but there's no manipulation, there's no competition between God and humanity, but it's a relationship marked by peace and forgiveness.
I just like the way the word sounds.
It's nothing to do with the content. I just it's
no,
a big word.
I like the content too, but it's mainly no. That's great to hear that. I didn't put that when you started talking about how it related, how eschatology fit in. I was at first thinking, what are you talking about? It doesn't. But then I didn't even catch that line. So. That's why we pay you the big bucks, Brian.
Yeah, the big bucks. That's right. That's why I'm in this here, is for the money.
I could tell.
That's right. But, Don, I can actually see we are coming to the end of our podcast, and hopefully our listeners have gained some new appreciation of the story here, and they see the eschatological theme, to use our big word for the week, and maybe they'll go out and buy some picture books for their own godchildren. And hopefully they'll join us next week on Your Sunday Reader. Have a good week. God bless.